opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
He always sings reggae music to the cattle as he swings, back and forward in the saddle on a horse. That is syncopated, Katie, that is such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run. When they hear the fellas gone and the western folks all know, he's a highfalutin, rootin, tootin son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe.
Well, good morning. This is Joe Nava on a Thursday morning, Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner, here with you for another hour in January 2019. It's another beautiful day out there. It's a winter day in Fairbanks. January, normally our coldest month, but here it is, a very warm temperature, well above zero this morning. And the light is a little flat out there. I don't see the sun. It's hiding behind some clouds, but who knows? It might be out later in the day. But it's another beautiful day to get out and enjoy outdoor activities in the Fairbanks area. Whether that's shooting or whatever it is, you can do stuff outdoors. If you don't want to shoot outdoors, you can go to one of the indoor ranges, either the Fish and Game Range on College Road or the Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association. They both have times set aside for public shooting, and it's comfortable to shoot indoors in the wintertime. But it is a lovely day, and I'm delighted to be with you for another Thursday. This is 2019, which means I've almost finished up 14 years of Shooter's Corner, and I've enjoyed it. I enjoy being with you. Thank you for listening. I want particularly to say hello to John in North Carolina. He's been a listener for quite some time, regularly, and often suggests things that I might talk about on this program. I do have listeners all over the lower 48 as well as all over Alaska. But let's see. Today is the 24th. That's a Thursday. Tomorrow is the 25th. That's Friday. And tomorrow, on Friday, at the Delta Sportsman's Club, they're going to have a fish dinner. It'll be a halibut, fried halibut fish dinner, and it's a fundraiser. They're asking for a donation of $20 for the fish dinner, and the bar will be open, but it's a no-host bar, and there will be no shooting on Friday evening, the 25th. They're raising money to pay for a rebuild of their kitchen. They have a kitchen right there in the clubhouse, and they have plenty of room for everybody to sit down and eat a meal. It's a nice group of people down there in Delta. I have belonged to the Delta Sportsman's Club for many, many years. I am a life member there. I don't get down there very often anymore, but I always enjoy it when I do. They have a wonderful junior shooting program in Delta. They've had some excellent coaches. There are some people in Delta who used to be really fine college shooters with their rifles, and they are now teaching, and they're training the youngsters in the schools, and they do have one of the best high school rifle teams in the country, in the state of Alaska. They're very good, and they're very well-trained, and they are fostered and sponsored by the Delta Sportsman's Club. That's where they shoot indoors in the wintertime, and they have an outdoor range in the summertime. So if you have nothing to do tomorrow evening, dinner is at 6 o'clock, and the bar will be open, and there will be no shooting. They would love to have you come. It's wide open to anybody. That's at the Delta Sportsman's Club in Delta, just 100 miles down the road. It's a short trip. Let's see. I did get a copy of a report from a listener of mine, and the report has to do with guns that are used by criminals. We hear a lot about the guns that are used by criminals. We have to keep guns out of the hands of criminals. That's what they say. And they say, the anti-gun people say, we have to tighten up our regulations on who can buy a gun. We have to have better background checks. Well, the background checks only apply at licensed firearms stores, people with a federal firearms license. And so if the criminal gets the gun somewhere else, they don't have to go through a background check. And this study by the Department of Justice says that most of the criminals don't get their gun from a retail dealer. They get it from the black market primarily. And they interviewed an awful lot of criminals back in 2016 primarily. And they found that most of the criminals are using handguns. If they used a gun in perpetrating a crime, they probably used a handgun. Most of them did. But this was a 2016 survey. And 21% of all the state and federal prisoners reported that they had possessed or carried a firearm when they committed the crime for which they were doing time in prison. According to the study, an estimated 287,000 prisoners possessed a firearm during their offense. The findings concluded 6% had stolen the firearm, 7% found it at a crime scene, and 43% obtained it off the street or on the black market. More than 25% had received it from a family member or a friend as a gift. So this says that the criminal is going to find a gun and use it in a crime, no matter what the regulations are for buying a gun from a licensed dealer. He's not going to do that. If he's got a criminal record, he wouldn't be able to buy the gun from the dealer anyway. The story that the criminals are buying guns and we have to tighten up the regulations is false. Only 0.8% of these criminals, that's less than 1% of these criminals, obtained their firearms at a gun show. Now, you hear a lot about, let's close the gun show loophole. Let's make everyone who buys a gun at a gun show go through a rigid background check. Well, it isn't going to do any good. If less than 1% of the criminals obtain their gun from a gun show, who are you affecting when you put in more regulations at the gun show? Only the law-abiding citizen, not the criminal. The criminal gets his gun somewhere else. He steals it. He buys it on the black market. He finds it. He gets it as a gift from a friend. There are lots of ways the criminal can get a gun. We don't have to tighten up the gun show regulations. Let's stop and take a phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Joe, you got lots of listeners here in Fairbanks, too, and we love you. And those who hear me, agree.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm a good guy with guns. Joe, we respect your opinion on firearms, and I had a discussion here this week with a couple friends talking about an overall hunting rifle. You only get one for in Alaska. What would you go with, Joe? A 300 Magnum, 338? What would be your take? I agree with you on the 357, my favorite all-around cartridge for a handgun, but I'm curious what your take is on a rifle, Joe, and I'm going to hang up so my phone don't crackle, and curious what you got to say.
Okay, and thanks for the phone call, and thanks for the question, and I will make the assumption that we're talking about a big game rifle, not small game, because most of our small game is shot with a .22 caliber rifle. But as far as the big game is concerned, I had that problem presented to me when I came to Alaska back in 1960. and I needed a rifle for big game hunting here. Back east where I came from, that was the state of Massachusetts, a good state to come from. We were only allowed to hunt deer and bear with a shotgun. We were not allowed to hunt big game with a rifle. So I didn't even own a big game rifle. I had a .22 rifle and I had a shotgun. And I had a .22 pistol I used for chasing squirrels and rabbits. But when I came up here, I had the question of what should I buy? And I looked at all the calibers and I looked at the game that I would be shooting in Alaska. And I selected the .308 caliber. And I selected a lever action. I bought a Savage Model 99. And I've got to go to break now, but after break, I'll tell you why I selected the .308 caliber.
The bass voice, Rich, and you've got it on Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner.
Now that we're once again in the great frozen north, it's time to stay warm and be prepared for the elements. Being prepared was ingrained in me at a very early age, and Auto Trim Design can help you be prepared too. With auto starts to warm your car, heated seats to warm your buns, moose lights to show you the way, mud flaps and floor mats to protect your rig, running boards to make getting in and out of your truck less tedious, and much, much more. Get prepared today at Auto Trim Design, and as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Explore winter trails you never thought possible. Stand, float, walk on snow with better traction and stability than walking down the street. Modern snowshoes are the perfection of a thousand-year-old idea. They're lightweight and versatile, easy and fun to use for all ages. If you can walk, you can snowshoe. Get the exercise you crave. Let it snow. Go explore. Start today. No lift ticket required. But first, find the right style and the right fit at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Avoid unwanted adventures on the road. Before you leave home, wheel bearings to wiring and lights, make sure your trailer is safe with service from Arctic RV. And that goes for your motorhome and camper too. Bodywork to appliances, Arctic RV. So when the mood hits you, whenever that is, your toys are as ready to roll as you are. Book your appointment now. Be ready then. Alaska plays rough, rough it in style. Arctic RV, 30th and Pegger, Fairbanks.
Weather brought to you by GCR. They've got Cooper and Bridgestone tires for everything you tow and every car, truck, motorhome, or SUV you drive. GCR Tires and Service are the tire guys taming the Alaskan road, Van Horn and Cushman.
This is Mark Levin. Don't miss the Mark Levin Show weekdays from 3 to 6 right here on KFAR Radio.
Well, we're back, and we were talking about big game rifles. And if you could only choose one rifle, what would you choose? Well, I did choose the lever-action Savage Model 99 in .308 caliber, and I liked it because that action slides very neatly into a scabbard or a gun case, but there's no bolt sticking out to give you a problem going in and out of a scabbard. And I did do some big-game guiding on horseback with a rifle in my scabbard on my horse. But as far as the caliber is concerned, I chose the .308 because of accuracy. It has plenty of energy to put down any animal if you hit them in the right spot. You're not going to kill big game animals by shooting them in the foot. You've got to be accurate. And so I selected the most accurate caliber I could find, and I practiced with it and became very accurate. And I always tried to shoot my big game animals in the lungs, as close to the heart as possible. And if I was able to stalk really close, I would try a neck shot. That was right at the base of the skull. I would try to break the spine at the neck and put the animal down immediately right there. And if I was going to hunt with a handgun, I would want to stalk even closer and make a headshot, because with the smaller bullet in a handgun, there's plenty of energy there to kill the animal, but you have to hit it in a vital spot, which is the head. Back to rifle. There are lots of good rifles on the market, and many of them are bolt action. There's not a thing wrong with a bolt action gun. I just happen to choose the lever action, and I've owned many different 308 lever action rifles throughout my tenure here in Alaska, and I found a lot of really, really good ones. The best lever action big game rifle I ever owned was a Seiko, S-A-K-O, Seiko, and the model was a Finn Wolf, F-I-N-N-W-O-L-F. That has the smoothest lever action that you'll ever run into, and it has the nicest trigger of any lever action I have ever used. I even shot that Seiko Finn Wolf in big game silhouette competitions. Has a wonderful trigger. I put a scope on it, and I've shot it out to 500 meters. Extremely accurate, a very good rifle. Unfortunately, I lost that rifle in my house fire of 1993, but I still have fond memories of my Seiko Finn Wolf. I've also owned several other lever actions. The Browning, BLR, and Winchester had a model, I think it was 88 model. I owned all of those. I'm back now to only one lever action, a big game rifle, and that's my 308 Savage Model 99. The 308 is my choice because you don't need excess energy and you don't need excess recoil to hunt big game animals in Alaska. You need an adequate rifle and you need to be accurate. And the 308 is an adequate rifle. So is the .30-06. Most people used to use a .30-06 for big game animals, and there's nothing wrong with it. I like the 308 because it's slightly more accurate than the .30-06, and it's a shorter cartridge, which means the gun only has to have a shorter action, makes the whole gun a little bit smaller. Lighter, easier to handle. And so I have gone with the 308 for all of my hunting and all of my guiding in Alaska. It's always been the 308. And I noticed when I used to shoot at Camp Perry at the national championships in Ohio, when I first went there, most everybody was shooting a .30-06 and I was shooting a 308. But it wasn't many years later that almost everybody had left the .30-06 and gone to the 308 because of the greater accuracy of the 308. So from my point of view, where you hit them is far more important than what you hit them with. And so pick one that's adequate. It doesn't have a punishing recoil. That won't bother you. And so I choose the 308. If we're talking about a lady taking up big game hunting, then I would recommend either the 308 or the 270. The 270 is similar to the 308. It has a slightly smaller bullet and a little bit flatter trajectory, a little bit faster bullet and less recoil. I like the 270 for a lady's big game rifle. Let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Hey, Joe. I'm looking at the Seiko website right now. They don't even make a lever action anymore, do they?
They don't make the Finn Wolf anymore, no.
I don't see any lever actions on their website. Which reminds me, you know, I have one shotgun, but when I was first considering buying one, the thing that was closest to what I wanted was another manufacturer, what is it called? Oh, the name escapes me. A real common shotgun manufacturer. Anyway, they had the basic shotgun, you know, pump action, wood grips, all that. And they don't make those anymore, so I bought an Ithaca. You know, it is basically the same shotgun, but it's made by a different company. And so companies, sometimes they make a line and they, you know, they're real popular, but all of a sudden they're not making those anymore. They're making something entirely different. I've noticed a shift over the years.
That is true, very true, and I'm sure the Finn Wolf has been out of production for quite a number of years. Yes, as far as the shotgun is concerned, the most popular one in this country has been the Remington pump action 870 for quite some time. That's the one that I teach bear protection with.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, it's good listening to you. I had another question, but I'll call next time you're on. Thanks.
That's fair enough. I'll be here every Thursday from 11 to 12. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. So I guess that's it about rifles. And you're right. All the companies are upgrading all the time and making different guns. They're trying to get you to buy another gun. And that's marketing. That's what it is. But the Remington 870 pump-action shotgun has probably made more millions of shotguns than any other company or model. And they're a very fine gun, very dependable, very swift and easy to use. And that 12-gauge shotgun has enough energy to put anything down at close range. Let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Sorry, Joe. I just remembered it was Mossberg. But the Mossberg 500 used to be what my Ithaca is now. Anyway, that just seems to happen. Thanks.
That's right. The Mossberg 500 is a very good pump-action gun. There are three I like in pump actions. That's the Remington 870, the Mossberg 500, and the Ithaca. I believe it's the model 37. They're all very good pump action shotguns, very good for anything you need a shotgun for. But I have to tell you that I used to hunt my waterfowl with a Remington 870 with a long barrel, and it had a magazine that would hold four rounds, but I had to plug it down to three in order to hunt waterfowl. The federal government won't allow you to carry a shotgun that holds more than three shells if you're going to hunt waterfowl. They limit you to three. Well, I used to carry three. And in my duck hunting, I never hit anything with the third shot. I might drop a duck with the first shot. I usually could. And I might or might not drop a duck with the second shot. But by the time I got to the third shot, the ducks were, by that time, just about out of range, and I rarely ever killed a duck with my third shot. So I finally went to an over and under. I have a Browning Satori over and under 12-gauge that I hunt waterfowl with now. I have two good shots, and if I'm careful and a little bit lucky, I can put down two ducks out of any flock that jumps up in front of my canoe. And I don't waste that third shot by throwing pellets into the air. So what you need is two good accurate shots to hunt waterfowl. You don't need that third one. You're not going to get a duck with it most of the time anyway. I like the over and under. It's a smaller gun, shorter barrel, shorter action, much easier to handle. Let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Yeah, hey, Joe, that's why they invented the Browning Auto 5 for that third shot. And by the way, it's John Moses Browning's birthday today.
Really? I didn't know that. Thank you very much for that.
Lots of happy, good weapons out of that guy. All right, bye.
I appreciate that piece of information. Thank you very much. I have several Browning Satoris. I've got it in 12, 16, and 20 gauge as well. When I go down to the 410, I do use a 410 on squirrels and rabbits and grouse and things, but I use the Remington 870 for my 410. That's a really nice little gun. Well, we're coming up toward the break, so I'm not going to go into any other topic. We talked about the 308 as my choice. There are lots of good choices, but I caution you, don't get too big a gun. Don't get too powerful a cartridge thinking you need more power to put the animal down. No, you need more accuracy to put the animal down. You need to hit the animal in the right spot, and the job is done. You don't want to punish yourself with too much recoil. So I'm not a fan of the biggest guns. I like the most accurate guns that have adequate energy to put down the animal. Do I hear the music coming up already? Okay, if I hear the music coming up, that tells me that it's time to go to the break for the half-hour break. But I'll be back to take more of your phone calls at 458-8255 right after this break.
Pelosi urging Republicans to support the Democrats' proposal.
There's no excuse for Senate Republicans not to pass this legislation.
Either measure would reopen federal agencies and pay 800,000 federal workers who are days from missing yet another paycheck. But the Republican bill would also include $5.7 billion for a southern border wall.
Fox's John Decker at the White House. Florida authorities say the man accused of opening fire in a bank yesterday killed his victims execution style.
Still a mystery as to why 21-year-old Zephan Zaver chose the SunTrust Branch Bank in the tiny town of Sebring, where he lived with his parents, to allegedly commit five grisly murders. But police don't think the victims were specially targeted.
Fox's Eben Brown in Sebring. This is Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Anchorage police have released the name of a man killed Tuesday in an apartment shooting. The man who died was 24-year-old Omar Mandauer. Investigators say Mandauer brought a handgun to the apartment and it was passed around and handled by multiple people. As the gun was handled by 26-year-old Marilyn Tilo Mavia, it fired, striking Mandauer in the upper body. Prosecutors later Tuesday declined to immediately file charges in the case. Two Anchorage public schools will stay closed next year for repair of earthquake damage. KTVA reports Eagle River Elementary School and Gruning Middle School will stay closed for the 2019-2020 academic year. The decision was made following a review of structural engineers. Students from both schools were relocated to other buildings in early December because of damage from the magnitude 7.0 earthquake. And finally, an Alaska jobs report shows the state's oil and gas industry experienced modest growth last month as some sectors of the economy have continued shedding jobs. State economist Neil Fried says more people were employed in the oil and gas industry in December than the same month in 2017.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Now that we're once again in the great frozen north, it's time to stay warm and be prepared for the elements. Being prepared was ingrained in me at a very early age, and Auto Trim Design can help you be prepared too. With auto starts to warm your car, heated seats to warm your buns, moose lights to show you the way, mud flaps and floor mats to protect your rig, running boards to make getting in and out of your truck less tedious, and much, much more. Get prepared today at Auto Trim Design. And as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
The cat blames the dog, but your precious cup of six brass screws on your workbench just scattered to dark, uncharted regions of your garage. Now you have four. Need a fastener? If it hooks on, holds on, hangs on, clips on, glues on, bolts on, screws in. If it fastens stuff together, Sentry has it. And the largest selection of nuts, bolts, screws, and washers in the interior. Yep, standard to metric, brass, galvanized, stainless, Sentry hardware. What you need right now.
All the news you'll need in one place. This is KFAR Radio, 660 AM and 97.5 FM.
Well, we're back. This is Joe Nava with Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner on a Thursday, ready to take your phone calls at 458-TALK, 458-8255. Any question or comment that you want, as long as it has to do with shooting. This is Shooter's Corner, and we try to talk about the good things that go on with guns. But primarily, I'm mostly interested in gun safety. I want you and everyone else to be safe with their firearms. And too many people seem to do too many stupid things with their firearms and cause firearms accidents. And I say if you'll follow basic rule number one, you will not hurt anybody with your gun. That is, always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. There was a fellow in Anchorage recently, it's in the news, who was killed with a handgun. He was at a place of business with a few friends, and he had a loaded handgun with him, and probably perfectly legal. I don't know anything about that. But what he did was he handed that loaded handgun to his friends and let them pass it around to look at it and handle it. That was his mistake. Let me take another phone call before I move on. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Hi. I've got a question. I've recently acquired a rifle. It's a Ruger carbine and 44 mag. And I'd just like to know what you think about that as a hunting rifle.
You know, it's very difficult to hear you. I think you said you obtained a 44 Magnum rifle?
Yes, a Ruger. It's a semi-auto.
A semi-automatic 44 Magnum. Okay. Ruger. And your question is what?
Is that adequate for big game?
No, I wouldn't say so because it's a handgun cartridge. They've just put it in a rifle, but it doesn't make the cartridge much more powerful by putting it in a rifle. If you're going to kill a big game animal with a 44 Magnum gun, you've got to be very close and make a killing shot. I say it has to be a headshot. You can't just poke a hole in the lungs and expect to find that animal down the road somewhere like you can with a big game rifle. I would say no. It's okay for, if you want to carry that gun for bear safety, that's okay. You're only going to be shooting at the bear within 20 feet, and he's going to be coming straight at you, and you're going to shoot him in the head, and that 44 Magnum will go right through the skull of the bear. But to take that out to hunt big game with, you really don't have enough energy to put the animal down if you hit them anyplace else.
All righty. I really appreciate your help with that, because I didn't have a clue as to what I was hanging on to.
I'm happy to do it for you. Call me anytime. 458-TALK.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Let's see. Where was I? Oh, we were talking about the gun accident in Anchorage. Well, the radio is reporting it this way, that the fellow brought his loaded handgun to a business and handed it around to his friends so his friends could see it and handle it. Unfortunately, it was loaded, and he should never have handed his loaded gun to anybody. He should have unloaded the gun first if he then wanted to hand it to somebody. So he made a basic mistake right there. And then the radio report says one lady was handling the gun, and the gun fired. Now, hold on here. A gun can't fire. A gun cannot fire. The lady fired the gun. The lady had her finger on the trigger. The lady put pressure on the trigger, and she fired the gun. The gun did not fire. I don't know why the news always reports it that way. They make it sound like the gun itself did something wrong. The gun fired. No, the gun can't fire. A person has to fire the gun. And that's what she did. And she wasn't following rule number one when she fired the gun. Rule number one is always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. And a safe direction is away from any person. If you follow that rule, even if you have an accidental discharge, you won't hurt anybody because the gun is never pointed toward anybody. And the second rule is always keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to fire the gun. And I don't think she was ready to fire the gun, particularly because it was pointed at this other fellow who's now deceased. So it was a sad story, but it's too many people doing too many stupid things because they don't follow the basic rules. If you follow rule number one, always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction, that is away from any person, then you can never hurt anybody with your gun. Well, let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Joe, we appreciate your advocacy on gun safety, man. You know, it's so important. It's more important than talking about calibers or anything like that. But I wanted to tell you an interesting a video I watched about handgun safety. What the guy did, the instructor, is he had a dowel, a three-foot wooden dowel, shoved in the end of the handgun barrel. And that, of course, only a three-foot representation. But it really showed really what that handgun was pointing at. You know, you don't get a perspective of that sometimes, and it's tragic. And I'm with you, Joe. There's no reason for stupid action. Thanks again for your advocacy on that, Joe.
You're welcome, and you're absolutely right. In that training exercise, when you put that 3-foot dowel in the barrel, it really lets you see where that barrel is pointing. It brings it home to you that all you have to do is turn your wrist a little bit and that gun is pointed toward something else. It's a good teaching tool, yes. Helps everyone remember to follow rule number one. That's why I do this program. I've been doing this program for almost 14 years, every week, And they don't pay me. You know, I'm a volunteer. I come in here and do this program as a volunteer. I don't charge anybody anything. I put my own gas in my car and I drive down here and I do this every Thursday. I do it because I want to teach gun safety to everybody. And I used to teach in my classroom at home as well, but after 56 years of teaching gun safety, gun marksmanship, and gun responsibility, I finally gave up and I retired this year, 2018, I retired. I don't teach in a classroom anymore, but I will stay on the radio as long as people would like to call with questions or comments and share the program with me. I'm delighted to spend my time down here teaching gun safety. I wish everyone would follow rule number one, and I wish everyone who teaches firearms would teach rule number one. That's what will avoid the accidents. On a larger scene, let's talk about the basic gun laws. Now, we've had a battle in the Supreme Court for quite some time. And the battle is that the President of the United States gets to nominate justices for the Supreme Court whenever there's an opening, and then the Senate has to approve it. The Senate has to ratify his nomination. And so, depending on who is president, you might get a justice on the Supreme Court with a different point of view. Now, we did have a president, Clinton, who was a very anti-gun president. And if he appointed anybody to the Supreme Court, it would have been somebody that had anti-gun feelings, anti-gun leanings, and might make anti-gun decisions. Then we had a president named Obama, who felt even worse about guns. He was a very anti-gun president, and he did appoint two justices, Sotomayor and Kagan. And so those two justices, I would always expect, would come down on the side of a decision against the gun-owning public and for more gun control. A recent president, Mr. President Trump, has appointed one person. He nominated Kavanaugh, and Kavanaugh was ratified and approved and is on the Supreme Court. Although the Democrats did everything they could to keep him off, they were unsuccessful. And I would expect that whatever decision he makes would be for the benefit of the gun owner and the protection of the Second Amendment, because the Supreme Court is the place where the final judgments are made about what is legal and what is not legal. And in the recent past, the Supreme Court has been made up of 9 justices, 5 of whom are pro-gun, and 4 of whom always seem to vote anti-gun. And if that changes to 5 and 4 the other way, we, the gun owners, are in deep trouble. Now, there's a new case that is going to the Supreme Court. They have agreed to hear a case out of New York City. The New York State Rifle and Pistol Association is bringing a case to the Supreme Court against the city of New York because the city of New York has instituted regulations for carrying a firearm inside the city of New York. And these regulations make it nearly impossible for a person to use a gun for personal protection. If you have a gun in your home inside New York City, it's legal, and you can take it from there to a shooting range inside of New York City or a shooting range outside of New York City and shoot and then take it home again only by the most direct route. And the gun must be unloaded, and it must be in a case. So here you are with an unloaded gun in a case that's useless to you as for personal protection. Now, the reason that New York has passed that strict law is that the Supreme Court said in a previous ruling that the government can regulate your right to keep and bear arms. And I'll go into that decision. That was the Keller decision. I'll go into that right after the break. We have to take one more break, and then I want to talk more about this Second Amendment in the Supreme Court. I'll be back in a moment.
Keep it here for more Shooter's Corner after this.
Avoid unwanted adventures on the road. Before you leave home, wheel bearings to wiring and lights, make sure your trailer is safe with service from Arctic RV. And that goes for your motorhome and camper too. Bodywork to appliances, Arctic RV. So when the mood hits you, whenever that is, your toys are as ready to roll as you are. Book your appointment now. Be ready then. Alaska plays rough, rough it in style. Arctic RV, 30th and Fager, Fairbanks.
Now that we're once again in the great frozen north, it's time to stay warm and be prepared for the elements. Being prepared was ingrained in me at a very early age, and Auto Trim Design can help you be prepared too. With auto starts to warm your car, heated seats to warm your buns, moose lights to show you the way, mud flaps and floor mats to protect your rig, running boards to make getting in and out of your truck less tedious, and much, much more. Get prepared today at Auto Trim Design. And as Bob says,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Get ready for winter with York Snowway Snowplow. Stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Snowway's wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer near the airport on Dale Road, or call 479-6665.
Weather being brought to you by Batteries Plus Bulbs. No matter how you broke your smartphone, there's only one smart way to fix it. Batteries Plus Bulbs. Visit batteriesplus.com to schedule your repair today.
KFAR Weather.
The unseasonably warm temperatures continue. Today, look for high temperatures near 25. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows around 15 above. Tomorrow for Friday, a 40% chance of snow with high temperatures near 28. As we get into the weekend, Saturday, more snow is likely with high temperatures near 25. Sunday, mostly cloudy with those high temperatures once again staying near 25. With our lows right around 10 above. This has been a look at your latest Fairbanks area weather forecast.
All the news you'll need in one place. This is KFAR Radio, 660 AM and 97.5 FM.
Well, we're back. This is Joe Nava with the final segment of Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner for today, the 24th of January, 2019. I was talking about the Supreme Court and the nine justices on the Supreme Court. Well, they had a question in Washington, D.C., where the District of Columbia passed some regulations on guns that made it impossible for you to carry a gun outside of your own home. You could have a gun in your home for personal protection, but if you left your home, you could not carry your gun for personal protection. Well, a fellow named Keller in Washington, D.C., brought suit against the District of Columbia, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court looked at the question, and the question was this: can the federal government remove your right that's outlined in the Second Amendment, your right to keep and bear arms? And the court thought that over, and they said no. They said the federal government cannot remove your right to keep and bear arms. It is an individual right. It belongs to every person, and the federal government cannot take it away. And that answered the question that was asked in the court case, and I wish that had been the end of it, but it wasn't. The court at that time was made up of nine justices, five who were pro-gun and four who were anti-gun. Well, there was enough pressure on the anti-gun side to make the justices say further. After they answered the question with a no, they said further, but the federal government can make regulations about carrying a firearm. Who can bear firearms? They can make regulations as to who bears firearms. We don't want felons or mentally incompetent people carrying firearms. They can make regulations about what firearms you carry. You can't carry some huge, big, state-of-the-art firearm that the military uses to blow up whole cities at one bomb. No. And they can make regulations as to where you can bear your firearms. And they said, such as schools or federal buildings. And I never have understood that, because the federal government doesn't have control over the schools. The schools are the responsibilities of the states. And I just don't see how the federal government could restrict firearms carrying in schools. That's up to the state. But anyway, those are the three things that the Supreme Court said in the Heller decision, that the federal government cannot take away your right to keep and bear arms, but they can regulate it. They can regulate who bears arms, what arms they bear, and where they bear arms. And I thought that was terrible. I don't think they should have said that. They didn't have to say that, but they decided to. So then the next case that came along was the Miller case in Chicago. Chicago started regulating, and they had very strict regulations, which didn't work. The criminals in Chicago always have guns. But this fellow claimed that he wasn't being allowed to have a gun, and it was the city of Chicago or the state of Illinois that was telling him he couldn't carry a concealed handgun outside of his home. So that went to the Supreme Court. The question there was, can any government agency take away your Second Amendment right? A city, a borough, a state, or any government agency? And the answer there in the Miller decision was no. They cannot take away your right to keep and bear arms. But the Keller decision still stood. So the federal government or the state government or any government cannot take away your right to keep and bear arms. But according to the Supreme Court, they can regulate it. Now, as far as I'm concerned, they simply took the word infringe out of the Second Amendment and substituted the word regulation. And the Supreme Court said they can regulate the right to keep and bear arms, which to me means they can infringe on your right to keep and bear arms. So immediately after the Miller decision, all the places in the country, like New York City, Los Angeles, and all these others, began making regulations regulating who can bear arms, where they can bear them, and what arms they can bear. And now they have gotten those regulations to be so onerous, so tightly written, that it's almost impossible for a person to exercise the Second Amendment rights. And that's the case that's going to the Supreme Court right now. It's the New York Rifle and Pistol Association against the city of New York to find out if New York is actually reasonably regulating the Second Amendment or if they shouldn't be. Let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Joe, infringing on our rights is bad enough, but what if they take your firearms? Do the state troopers here or the local government or nationwide, what happens to guns that are taken off criminals in that? Are these destroyed? Are these auctioned? Are they melted down? I was always curious, Joe. What do you think?
Well, that's an interesting question. By law, they cannot be destroyed. They cannot be destroyed. And that was a case right here in Alaska when Governor Knowles was the governor. And when the police take a gun that was used in a crime, they keep it. And then every once in a while, the police department will have a sale. And they'll sell these guns, usually only to licensed dealers. But Governor Dole said, no, we don't want to sell all these guns. Let's destroy them. And so he let out a contract for some company to destroy these thousands of guns, many, many beautiful guns. Well, there was a lawyer in Anchorage. His name was Wayne Anthony Ross, R-O-S-S. He said, wait, that's not legal. That's our own governor destroying public property. he can't do that. So he filed a court case and took the state to court, and he won. Wayne Ross won that court case. And because he won the court case, Governor Knowles was not allowed to destroy any more guns, and he was forced to sell all those guns and use the money for the police departments. And because Wayne Ross had brought the suit, the state was wrong. The state lost it. The state had to pay Wayne Ross's legal fees. So Wayne Ross gave the state a bill for his legal fees, and he received a check from the state for his legal fees. It was several thousand dollars. And that check today hangs on the wall in Wayne Ross's gun room to show that, yes, we can take down the state if they don't treat us properly. He never has cashed that check, but he still has it, showing that he won that battle. So the answer is the guns cannot be destroyed, but they can be sold, and the money can be used for the police departments. Some of those guns can also be given to other state or government agencies, like the Fish and Game Department. If the Fish and Game Department needs some guns to help teach a gun safety course, a hunter safety course, then they can go to the police department and they can request some of those guns. And they can look them over, select what they want, and the police department can transfer the ownership of those guns from the police department to the Fish and Game Department, and Fish and Game will then use those guns for their educational programs. That has worked here in Fairbanks, Alaska as well. So that's the answer to your question. Nobody in the government can destroy those guns, even though some people would like to, and that's what happens when you have an anti-gun governor. He would like to do things of an anti-gun nature, but in this case, he was not allowed to do that. That's a very good question. I appreciate that very much. So now we're watching this case in the Supreme Court, but let me tell you not to get too excited about it right away, because the Supreme Court has just decided we will hear this case and we will make some determination on this question. And we will probably start hearing arguments in October. That's October of 2019. That's a long way from now. So there's no need to get all upset today about what may happen next October. Let's just keep an eye on it and see what happens to the Supreme Court. Right now, our Supreme Court has a 5-4 majority in favor of protecting our Second Amendment. We want to keep it that way. But there's one of the justices who's getting very old, and she's not physically well. She's been in the hospital recently, and who knows when or if she will give up her seat on the Supreme Court and be replaced by somebody else. If that happens during President Trump's term of office, he will no doubt appoint someone who will protect and support our Second Amendment. We're hoping that that will happen. But whatever happens, the final results of your Second Amendment rights will be determined by the 9 justices on our Supreme Court. So we need to be very careful who goes on to the Supreme Court. And in order to do that, you must be very careful who goes into the presidential's position. The President of the United States will nominate the justices for the Supreme Court. Well, I hear the music that tells me we're coming up to the end of another wonderful, exciting program. I really appreciate your phone calls and all your input. But right now, I want to say one more time, always keep your gun pointed in a safe direction. If you will do that for me, you will never harm anybody with your gun. I will be back with you a week from today. Stay safe and don't have a firearms accident.